Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
How is it already time for the hump show? That's crazy. I feel like we just started the work week, which is, this is not a complaint, mind you. But how is it already time for the middle show of the work week with the hump show? Oh my goodness. I think it's because of football. It makes it, well, it makes the world, my world, the sports world, spin faster. And so here we are, middle show of the work week. Obviously, we need to get over this hump to get toward another weekend. But man, football is only a couple days away from firing up all over again. So here we are, caught in this vicious cycle. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams. And for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. So I think that the week goes quicker when I have to write columns because, you know, I stress over them, right? So Tuesday was writing day. And there was very little thought given to any other theme besides quarterbacks, and specifically quarterback changes. And so I know a lot of you have already read my column. Thank you so much. I appreciate the feedback. I went through every team that had a quarterback change or is making a quarterback change in week two or because of week two. And it took a while because there are a bunch of them. We've got even more QB news from Tuesday. Some that was unexpected that we will get to. And the latest injury news as well. I think the New York Jets right now have the corner of the market. Kind of wish they didn't. But instead they're dealing with now this unique piece of history that very few teams have ever navigated before. So we'll explain all of that as we head through this edition of After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Because it is our hump show, we'll take your questions for Ask Amy Anything. That comes up a couple hours from now, so you have some time to think, contemplate, be creative. So you can send those to our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, or to our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And our phone number, 855-212-4227. 855-212-4CBS. You kept me entertained when I was procrastinating from my writing. I mean, the column's done, so I managed to procrastinate less on Tuesday than I normally do, or than I have in the past few weeks. But when I wanted to procrastinate, I took a picture of my dog and posted that on Twitter. And then I also went through your responses to our Twizzler Tuesday question. Amazing. You guys were so creative. So I have great hopes for Ask Amy Anything. But we were asking you kind of a cross-section of pop culture and sports. What TV show or line from a popular TV show would you use to describe your football team right now? And it was inspired by a couple of things. The Cleveland Browns putting together their own skit to mimic the open to the classic Friends TV show. So that was kind of funny. But also the fact that every time I thought about the Jets after Monday Night Football and on into our show yesterday, all I could think of was it's not easy being green for the Muppets. And so you guys kept me wildly entertained. Some TV shows I haven't thought of in years. So really good stuff. And if you haven't checked those out, you can always find them on Twitter or Facebook. Also, we have a really tight race going right now for, in fact, it's a dead heat for Touchdown Tuesday, our TD of the week. I will just issue my apology for T.Y. Hilton and DK Metcalf, but Odell Beckham Jr. and Julio Jones, both of them, records of sorts, they are in a dead heat for Touchdown of the Week. So as we wrap up TD Tuesday, I would love for you to cast your vote if you haven't already, again, on Twitter or on Facebook, because we need to declare a wiener. I hate it when people say that, and I just did it. We need to declare a winner of Touchdown Tuesday, and so you've got a little more time with the poll. In fact, the poll will run through most of our show tonight, so check that out. And we need to decide, is it OBJ or is it Julio Jones? And sure, if you would like to vote for the guy you like better, that's okay too. Just cast your vote. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Let's do a little baseball, shall we? I had been promising you that we would catch up on what was happening in Major League Baseball, and I did not do a very good job of it on our last show. There was so much to process and digest from Monday Night Football and then the various injuries in football. And so we kind of glanced at Major League Baseball on our last show, but really didn't get to a whole lot of the storylines. And there are some incredible moments from Major League Baseball and from the playoff races that we watched play out on Tuesday night. So we will get to the generational names in baseball that had their own special moments, like Biggio and Yastrzemski, because that's the stuff that you just can't script. Amazing. I don't know if it makes you feel old that you watch Craig Biggio and now you're watching his son. Or, now, I never saw Carl Yastrzemski play, but of course, growing up in New England, I knew all about the iconic moments from Yaz. And now his grandson makes his debut at Fenway Park, which I just thought was incredibly neat. Again, never having saw Carl play the Hall of Fame Yaz, still amazing to see another Yastrzemski in the batter's box at Fenway Park as he made his debut in Boston for the San Francisco Giants. So we'll get to those really cool moments. Plus a new leader in the Major League Baseball home run chase. But why don't we look at the playoff picture, because this is getting good. So we're down to 11, 12 games to go. In some cases, fewer than that for teams. It's down to the nitty-gritty now. And yet we still only have two teams who've clinched playoff spots and only one that's locked up a division title. Would you believe none of the playoff spots in the American League have been locked up yet? And only the Dodgers, who won again on Tuesday night, Kenley Jansen with a four-out save, only the Dodgers have secured a division title. And they did that, what, September 10th or something. So it's been over a week since the Dodgers locked up their seventh consecutive NL West crown. Everything else, completely up for grabs. And one of the stories coming out of baseball that just blows me away, and yet I think it reveals over and over something that we see in sports, the resiliency of the human spirit and the motivation that we as humans can draw from bad stuff happening. I mean, it sounds like a sixth grader is talking about it, but as simply as possible, when you're dealing with character, when you have a clubhouse or a locker room that's full of character, and a lot of times that comes from veterans with their experience, when you're dealing with incredible leadership, when you're dealing with guys who refuse to accept a backdoor, or refuse to accept a setback, is what I meant to say, as the end, well, then you see teams rise like we're seeing with the Milwaukee Brewers. They are playing some of their best baseball of the season. And they've been without their National League MVP for over a week now. And yet this team continues to put pressure not just on the other teams in the NL Central, But they're putting pressure on that wild card race.
1-2 pitch. Swing and a high drive. Deep right. We're not tied anymore. Mike Moustakas. A towering shot for home run number 35. And the Brewers have a 2-1 lead.
Mike Moustakas, of course, who won a World Series, played in a couple with the Kansas City Royals. And so he has that experience and is a great presence in the clubhouse. But the Brewers have many of those guys. Lorenzo Cain, same thing, a guy who's been around, had another home run himself. And Jeff Levering with the call there on the Brewers Radio Network. This is a big blast that helped the Brewers beat the Padres. And they have now won 11 of their last 12. Not all of those without Christian Yelich, but many of them. We did an interview the night that Yelich suffered the broken kneecap. Remember, with the ball off of his own knee? Not sure that you could forget it if you watched it. And I heard from fans, that's it, they're done, they can't sustain this. We even had a Major League Baseball insider join us on the show. And he talked about how good the team is, but feeling like the Central Division and the wild card, it was just too competitive a race in each case for the Brewers to stick without their best player. And yet, here they are, even with the Chicago Cubs for the second wild card. And right now, within two games, same thing as the Cubs, within two games of the Cardinals atop the NL Central. And again, it really speaks to the character of the Brewers, the character of their leadership and their veterans. And Craig Counsell was noting that after the game.
It's a big moment because we kind of lose the momentum a little bit with the game tied and pit, you know, everybody pitched so well, but he took it right back, I thought. And it's a huge spot. I mean, those are big spots. Moose and Kane coming up big, you know, the veteran guys coming up big in spots that we need them.
Mike Moustakas with his home run in the seventh inning. Kane had homered earlier in the game in the third. So if you counted the Brewers out, think again, because their story is not done. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. There's good news and there's bad news for the New York Yankees as they chase not only the AL East title, which they are likely to have, but also trying to lock up best record. And right now, it's that same story that we've talked about for a couple of weeks. It's them and the Astros both sitting on the exact same record at 99-53. The Dodgers are one game back, and then you've got the Braves who are six games behind the pace being set. So Astros win again on Tuesday night. Justin Verlander with his 19th victory of the season. And so they continue to keep up an incredible pace themselves, the recent World Series champs. And here are the Yankees, who take hit after hit in their pitching staff, and yet the bats come through for them over and over. So the bad news is that Dylan Betances has a partially torn Achilles, which is a huge blow for their bullpen. But the good news is they just had one of their aces, I guess you would call him the ace, Luis Severino, make his season debut on the mound.
Here is the 0-1. And a ground ball to short, double play ball. Go to second, one. On to first, double play. Well, Severino got out of the inning beautifully on a 6-4-3 DP.
That's John Sterling on the Yankees Radio Network. Luis Severino with 67 pitches, so only goes four innings. They obviously want to work him back at a pace so that he is stretched out in time for the postseason. But he only allows two hits, two walks, four strikeouts. And what I read is that he hit 99, or if we're rounding up, 98.8 miles per hour on the gun. So as much as the pitching rotation, so not the bullpen, the bullpen's been so good for the Yankees, but as much as the rotation has been an Achilles heel with guys in and out and guys consistent here and not consistent there, if they can get Luis Severino ready for the playoffs, this is a massive boost for their World Series hopes.
It was exciting. It was fun, you know, going out there, hearing the fans and everything, you know, being just, you know, around all my teammates, you know, and just, you know, being there and trying to, you know, just win games.
So it's not too late for them to start looking at that rotation and trying to figure out how do we navigate the postseason. This is not the Houston Astros, who have Justin Verlander and Garrett Cole and Zach Greinke and pitchers for days. It's going to be more of a patchwork. The Yankees have done a lot of those openers, so using Chad Green or another pitcher out there for two, three innings, and then supplementing after that. But rotations obviously change in the postseason, and you need your best guys to be out there in the American League where there are so many incredible bats. So the Yankees and the Astros right now sitting on 99 wins as we really hit the stretch run here in September. I cannot believe that it's September 17th, Tuesday, September 17th, and we're closing in on October. What? That's nuts. So, all right, so we'll update the standings and also some incredibly magical moments for two teams that will not taste the playoffs, but just really kind of underscore why I love sports so much, because these are the moments that you just can't script. From the category of you can't make this stuff up, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
And the 1-1 inside, that hit him. It hit him! And the Twins win! Now the White Sox may say that got the bat, not the arm. They can ask to take a look at this, but the Twins are celebrating a walk-off hit by pitch. 9-8, 12-inning win.
What a group. I mean, there's not a lot of words for that. You had to experience that game and feel it and go through it and feel the ups and downs.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The Minnesota Twins twice trailed in extra innings. And as you hear manager Rocco Baldelli say, he loves this squad because there's such incredible spirit and resiliency, just like we talked about to open the show. And right now, that resiliency and that ability to bounce back and take the punches and then counterpunch has the Twins in front of the Indians by 5 games atop the AL Central. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Don't forget to vote in our Touchdown Tuesday poll. And also, you can send your questions for Ask Amy Anything, plus on our Facebook page. And we'll get to the latest football news within the next 30 minutes, I promise. But some cool moments from the baseball diamond on Tuesday. Even though they didn't have anything to do with playoff races, pretty amazing to hear the names of Biggio and Yastrzemski and to see the next generation and then the next generation after that. So a couple of different generations, actually, to see them etch their own place in the history books and to know the context and to know the story and the family tradition just makes it even richer. So we've been talking about Kevin Biggio this year. It's one of those second-generation players who is part of the Toronto Blue Jays. And as much as this has been a difficult year for the Blue Jays, and there's been a few of them now, it's been a lot of fun to see some of these young guys and wonder what the future holds for players like Kevin Biggio.
Now a 3-2, swinging a drive towards the gap in left center field. It's hit well. Going back is Mason, and he can't get it. It's off the wall. Kevin Biggio is racing towards third. He's on his way to third base, and he becomes the third player in franchise history to hit for the cycle.
Pretty awesome, especially when you consider that his dad did it as well. So Craig Biggio, who I watched and loved because he never left a game without getting his uniform dirty. He had to be somewhere rolling around in the dirt, diving for balls, just to prove to you that he was out there and had played a game. He was so hard-nosed and tough, and just, I loved watching Craig Biggio play. So his dad hit for the cycle April 8th, 2002. So now Craig and Kevin Biggio are the second father-son duo in Major League history to accomplish this feat, which is, of course, a nerd alert. The only other father-son duo Gary Ward and Daryl Ward. So Gary in 1980 for the Twins, and then Daryl for the Pirates in St. Louis in 2004.
That's nerd stuff.
It is, and it's next-gen nerd stuff, but so cool. And as you can imagine, the dugout, now this game was taking place in Baltimore, but the dugout for the Blue Jays, really excited to have that moment in the ninth inning for Kevin Biggio, and you heard the final piece, the triple, with Mike Wilner on the Toronto Blue Jays radio network. And no, they're not competing for a playoff spot, but you can still enjoy these mini triumphs individually.
The whole moment's pretty cool, I'm not gonna lie. But you know, like you said, Gurriel picking me up, being happy for you, I mean, that's what it's all about, you know. Coming down, we're down by one in the eighth, and you know, tying it up, and then having a big ninth inning against a pretty good pitcher. I mean, you know, that's what the game's all about, and you know, overall, just a big, fun team victory.
Kevin Biggio on Sportsnet Toronto. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. I got to tell you, as much as I never saw Carl Yastrzemski play, and I wish I did, so I would love to have seen the golden era of Major League Baseball. And we've got some good stuff on the diamond now, and it's amazing some of the Hall of Famers that we're seeing play in 2019. Later in their career, I mentioned Justin Verlander. He, of course, will be a first ballot Hall of Famer. And guys like Mariano Rivera and Derek Jeter, and I mean, I could go on and on. Even Craig Biggio, loved watching him play. But I often think how much fun it would have been to see some of the greats like a Mickey Mantle or Carl Yastrzemski and players that I just missed seeing play. I mean, Willie Mays is someone else that I wish that I could have seen play. And so when you see a Yastrzemski in the batter's box at Fenway Park, whether you are a Red Sox fan and saw Carl Yastrzemski play or not, it's just pretty amazing to see that name on the back of a jersey and to have the moment play out the way that it did, with the fans in Boston giving proper due to Mike Yastrzemski, grandson of Carl, even as he came to the plate for the first time and then had an incredible moment in the fourth inning. And I want you to hear what he had to say about walking the field with his grandfather. So Carl was there in the pregame, and they had an opportunity to walk around Fenway Park together. So we'll get to that after the break. But just really neat for him to realize a dream come true after years and years of attending games at Fenway Park as a kid.
3-1, Yastrzemski hits a high drive center field. Jackie Bradley going back, looking up. It's gone. And you can only imagine what's going through the head of Mike Yastrzemski and his whole family. He has homered at Fenway Park.
What? You can't make this stuff up. If we scripted it, nobody would believe it. That's the call on the San Francisco Giants radio network. Amazing, amazing moment. And his first career game at Fenway Park, and the emotions washing over him just had to be incredible. But I do want you to hear from him about walking Fenway with his grandfather. And, you know, it's a little intrusive to have cameras there as you greet your granddad for the first time. So they had their reunion on the field. It was during BP, and Carl was there, and Mike walked out of the dugout, or walked out of the clubhouse and threw the dugout onto the field. I wondered how maybe it was different because the cameras were there. And so it's kind of a weird feeling, right? Like I want to see this reunion like most people do, and these first moments of him walking Fenway as a member of the Giants, but also I wish they could have their moment without the cameras being there. But still, he played along. He was great and very gracious with his time, and the pictures of Carl and his grandson Mike that are all over the place on social media, just they kind of gave me chills. It was awesome, that history in Major League Baseball. If you didn't see the home run, oh, it's only had 1.2 million views. I retweeted it earlier in the evening. In fact, Chris, if you want to retweet it, that'd be great. Again, the incredible moments in sports that if we told you they were going to happen or script them in a movie, you wouldn't believe it anyway. You have to see it to believe it. All right, coming up next, we'll hear a little bit more from Mike Yaz, but also the latest quarterback changes in the NFL. It's week two, for heaven's sakes. And the landscape looks completely different. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
The 3-0 hit high in the air to center and deep. Hilliard back at the wall. It's going to go. Number 48 for Pete Alonso. A long one into the stands to the right of the batter's eye. It's 415 to straightaway center. He might have about 440 or 450 there for his 48th home run of the year. The Mets have homered three times here in the sixth inning. The Mets are leading by a score of 4-0.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Incredible what the Mets rookie has accomplished. 48 home runs, well over 100 RBI. And as you hear with Howie Rose on the Mets radio network, Alonso is back in front in the home run chase, not just in the National League, but also across the major. So we know that Christian Yelich is stuck on 44 and will not be hitting another one this season. Cody Bellinger is still on 44 as well. And so those guys have, Bellinger has fallen off the pace. Mike Trout is done for the year with the pending foot surgery. And so he will not be hitting another one. Jorge Soler has 45, just like Mike Trout does. And Eugenio Suarez, for a while, was leading Major League Baseball. He has 47. Nolan Arenado is now in the ranks with the 40. And then you look at I think it's three different Braves who are knocking on the door of 40. So Ronald Acuna Jr. sits at 39, Freddie Freeman at 38, Josh Donaldson is at 37 with a couple of other hitters, including Kyle Schwarber of the Chicago Cubs. And so there very well could be, I mean, this would be a long shot, but there could be a dozen different guys with 40 home runs when it's all said and done. But right now, Alonso with the nose in front in the major league chase, though I bet he would chase that home run, or he would lose that home run chase if he could exchange it for a spot in the wild card game. So the Mets have fallen off the pace right now. Four games back of that second wild card, which happens to be a tie between the Brewers and Cubs. The Nationals still in front with a game and a half lead. They're also tied with the Phillies. And so with only, 11, 12 games left, it's bleaker and bleaker for anybody outside of the Nationals, Brewers, and Cubs. And the same goes, so in the National League, you essentially have three teams for two spots, unless something crazy happens with the Mets and Phillies. And same thing in the American League. And it's just a shame that any of these teams have to be left out. Of course, without the second wild card, we wouldn't even be having this conversation. Right now, the A's have a two-game lead on the Rays, who lost in Los Angeles a few hours ago. And then the Indians are a half game out behind the Rays. So it is tight. Six teams, four wild card spots is what it comes down to. And as I mentioned, only two playoff spots have been clinched overall. None in the American League. Only one division title has been locked up, and that's the Dodgers. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. It's brought to you by Geico. With a quick way you can save money, switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. So you can send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. We're inside of 2 hours until we get to that portion of the Hump Show, either on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page. And I see so many of you are already sending your questions. I'm not supposed to see them, but I promise you, even if I do see them ahead of time, I do not choose the questions. That is all producer Chris. So you can call him up if you want to do that too, or you can send your questions via social media. And we'll get to that, like I said, in the third hour of the show. Let's see. Let's finish up the Mike Yastrzemski stuff, because I think it's so cool. And with the Giants winning in extra innings, at Fenway Park. There's even more of a smile around this Fenway Park debut. So he gets a chance to walk the field and be out there with his grandfather before they actually take the field for warmups. So he has an opportunity, along with cameras and photographers, but he has an opportunity to kind of be out there and spend some time with his grandpa. And also, just as you can imagine, think about the potential for what's to come and being there at left field and leading off for the Giants in the same ballpark where his grandpa played. And I just loved hearing what he had to say and how candid he was with reporters in the dugout before they took the field.
I got to walk in here by myself when I got to the field, and there was a lot of memory of being in the stands, you know, being in the stands for the World Series, being in the stands for the 99 Home Run Derby, the All-Star Game, being with family at games, and just those things overwhelm you more than actually playing here. You know, the playing here is cool, and I see it as part of my job and something that I've always wanted to do, so that doesn't really overwhelm me. But being able to do it in a setting where I have so many fond memories with friends, family, and then having them be able to be here is special. You know, it's always a dream to play here when you're a kid growing up in New England, but I kept it very focused on just surviving one more day in the big leagues, because there'd been a lot of turnover on our team and I knew that they were looking for production. So in order to make it to Boston, I had to play well. So I never really kept focus on it. And you know, I got some questions and I said, you know, I got to make it to Boston before we talk about it. So so now I guess I can talk about it.
How pretty cool is it that you made it here?
It's the best. You know, this is, everybody dreams about going home and playing in front of their hometown, and to be here and to just have made this trip was special.
Yeah, no doubt. Again, to see a Yastrzemski in the batter's box at Fenway Park, whether you watched Carl play or not, that's just some incredible baseball history. So Yaz, younger Yaz, goes 2-for-7. So this was a game that went into 15 innings, so he was still out there. He got a little bonus time in left field and at leadoff. 2-for-7 in his Fenway Park debut, but he has the home run in the fourth inning. He did strike out three times, though he wasn't alone. There were multiple guys, including Brandon Belt in the Giants lineup, who struck out three times. A lot of strikeouts in this game. 19 Giants strikeouts, 14 for the Red Sox. I think, not in count the players, but I think I saw on social media that the two teams combined used 50 different players in this game. That's crazy. But I love to hear what Yaz had to say. And if you haven't seen the photos of him out there on the field before the game with his grandfather, that was pretty amazing too. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. So the unthinkable has happened again. And yes, I'm being somewhat tongue-in-cheek. It wasn't unthinkable until a couple years ago when the Giants tried to replace Eli Manning at quarterback, botched the whole damn thing, and then it became even more awkward than it needed to be to replace the guy who's been their franchise quarterback for 15 plus years. He has started a franchise record 232 games, but at 38 years old, in the final year of his contract, the Giants just decided to rip off the Band-Aid. And this is not about Eli. I think a lot of people are interpreting this as an indictment of Eli Manning. It's not about Eli. I'm a little surprised that the Giants are throwing in the towel on the season already, because that's what this feels like to me. But I can certainly understand why they want to see what they have in Daniel Jones. And you know what's ironic? Eli Manning took over for Kurt Warner in his rookie season. Now, the difference was the Giants were 5-2 at the time. I will never forget it, just being so confused as to why they would pull Kurt Warner to put in a rookie Eli Manning when they were 5-2. But they did. So Eli's been in the same situation that Daniel Jones is in right now. And while it's not solely Eli's fault that the team has started out 0-2, he's not played that badly. In fact, I don't think he's played badly at all. Who the hell is he throwing to is my question. And that's going to be the same question for Daniel Jones. That receiving core, because of suspensions and injuries, is massively depleted. The offensive line's a little better than it was a year ago, and I think it will get better. But there are very few experienced targets out there. And then in addition to that, how about we shine a little light on the defense? Eli Manning doesn't play defense. He couldn't play defense. The defense has given up, what is it, 63 points so far in two games? I wrote about this in my column, so I should have these numbers committed to memory. But here's what the Giants are doing. They see the writing on the wall, and again, maybe jumping the gun a little bit, but they've started out 0-2 for the sixth time in 7 years. That gets old, as you can imagine. And they were impressed by Daniel Jones in the summer and the preseason. I think we were all impressed if you watched him play. Daniel Jones represents the future. But if New York brass doesn't believe they can win right now, why not get a jump start on the future? Again, it's maybe a little early. I don't think 0-2 is the death knell for a football team. We see 0-2 teams rally to make the playoffs every year. But the roster for the Giants is not one where you think, oh, it's underachieving. No. I mean, this is the way they built it. They're in rebuilding mode. So my concern, as always, when you throw a rookie quarterback into what has been a losing situation, is that it will be more harm than good for him. But I think in the case of Daniel Jones, he's really smart. He played in a pro-style system at Duke. We know all about his ties to the Manning quarterback coach because that was widely reported on, talked about during his controversial drafting at number 6 overall. But here's what he brings to the table. Even without the experience, he offers energy just by virtue of the fact that he's a rookie and he's got more pep in his step than the 38-year-old does. He offers a really big arm. We know that. We've seen it. Athleticism, the ability to run. Do I think every quarterback needs to run? No. But the Mannings are blessed with cinder blocks for feet. I mean, so is Tom Brady, let's be honest. When Drew Brees did a spin move last year, it was like a national holiday. So you don't need to be a running quarterback. But he does bring the ability to run if the Giants want to add that to their offense. And right now, with the way that their receiving core lines up, they can use a versatile quarterback who brings some energy. So again, this is not an indictment of Eli Manning. And let's be honest, it's week 2. What are the chances Manning services get required again? That's pretty high odds, if you ask me. We've already seen half dozen quarterbacks get hurt through 2 weeks. Still, though, even though we're in week 2, it does pose an interesting question for Eli. Will he decide he wants to play past this year with the Giants? Because it's not likely to be in New York. Or will he retire at 38 as a lifelong Giant? Those questions we don't have to answer now. But the Giants become the next team to make a change at quarterback. Thanks so much for tuning in After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.